ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. वेलकम टू ऑल अवर विवेक चूडामणि पार्टिसिपेंट्स. वी आर वेरी थैंकफुल फॉर दी facilities provided by the modern science. So in a way, this Karuna Mayi Ma had done us a lot of good. So I would like to speak very shortly about this. For a devotee of Sri Ramakrishna, these events should not be considered as disasters, but they should be accepted as the will of the Divine Mother. Not only the Divine Mother controls her devotees, but also the entire world. And just as an individual has a karma phala, so also there is a universal karma phala, national karma phala. So all of us are being given a awakening call, uttishtata, jagrata, prapyavaran nibodhata. This is a spiritual call. Oh man, you are a child of God, you are my child, I have been telling you, but you are not heeding my words. And this is how I would like to bring back all of you into my lap. And even historians, scientists have discovered that when some so-called disaster happens, it's not only it appears in the superficially seeing that it is a disaster, but really speaking, it brings in a lot of good too. So every devotee should accept the situation and ponder what is the lesson we have to learn from this event. Not only disaster, even if something very nice, very good, happy events happen also, we have to pay our attention, because the scriptures categorically and without getting tired go on telling us that even if we are good people, happy people, to be on this earth is not our destination. Mono chalo nija niketane allide nammane illi bande summane. Even though here, our home, oh my child, is not here, it is with God. So let us pray for those who are suffering and those who are also going to suffer in future. And really, this is not a disaster. From the karma point of view, whoever is destined to suffer, they are going to suffer, whether through this excuse or some other excuse. It is our duty to be very careful. Then what are we supposed to do? So that is what long back, nearly 13 centuries back, Bhagavan Shankaracharya is advising us through this Viveka Chudamani. In many people's opinion, and I completely agree with them, this Viveka Chudamani is one book. It clearly enunciates, explains, atva purushartha, and what is the truth. Who are we? Where from we have come? Why are we here? Where are we going? Do we have any free will? Do we have a choice? And what should be the goal of life? And what is the way to progress in life in every way? Just one point I want to emphasize here. Whether a person is a scientist, a complete non-believer in God, whether a person is an artist or a statesman or an illiterate person or even an evil person, downright evil person. If we analyze their lives, we find that all of them have only one goal. They want eternal, infinite happiness. The scriptures merely confirm and say, yes, there is a state where man can become eternally, infinitely happy. And in order to do that, he has to follow a particular lifestyle. And that lifestyle is called spiritual practice. So if a person has to be eternal and infinite, naturally he has to give up that which is non-eternal and that which is finite. Mind you, even this world has got its both good side and not so good side. Everybody is not always unhappy. We have tremendous amount of our share of happiness, but we also have to face this unknown disaster, so-called, we call it a disaster. Ramakrishna doesn't call it a disaster. He calls it a call of divine awakening. So with this introduction, let us resume. We have already done until 336 verses. So I'm not going, as most of you know, through every shloka, every verse, selecting, but keeping all the points that Shankaracharya wants us to understand, where he goes into elaboration. I am just taking one or two verses, important verses, and trying to interpret it. So we are now in 337th verse of Viveka Chudamani that was composed by Sri Shankaracharya. There may be slight variation. Those who have the book, probably it would be one verse earlier or one or two verses later because of some versions. This verse also slightly differs, not too much. So with this, let us deal with this 337. So with this, I will just give you a small introduction in this verse and in the coming two verses, this verse and the next verse. Shankaracharya is telling, my friend, you are wise and you are a discriminative person. So if you are really wise person, and you know how to discriminate between what is not temporarily good, but permanently good, you will have to do certain things. And even after knowing what is right, what is wrong, and a person who doesn't do what is right and clings to what is wrong, not even attempting to get rid of the strong samskaras, what we call, not even attempting to slowly free from these clutches of the old samskaras, habits, such a person is wasting his life. So here he is telling, kaha panditah san sat asat viveki shruti pramanaha paramartha darshi Jananti kuriyat asato avalambam swapata hetoho shishuvan mumukshuhu. Beautifully, Shankaracharya is depicting one of the effects of Maya. There are various definitions of Maya, but one of the most interesting definitions of Maya is that the inability, incapacity to give up what is harmful for us, even after completely knowing it is harmful. For example, every drunkard definitely knows drinking is harmful. Every drug addict knows, but these are extreme examples. A person who is addicted to too much eating, too much sleeping, too much of entertainment, too many external activities which distract a man, for such a person, yoga is not there. Bhagavad Gita, what we have discussed in the past, some of the classes tell that the person who doesn't bring about a harmony, a synthesis, a person either sleeps too much or keeps awake too much, he is completely lazy and becomes inactive, or he becomes too restless and performs things, too many things, most of the time it is unnecessary. For such a person, yoga will not help him to get rid of his bondage. So here he is telling, where is the man who, being learned, able to discriminate the real from the unreal, believing the Vedas as authority, fixing his gaze on the Atman, the supreme reality, and being a seeker after liberation, will, like a small child, consciously have recourse to the unreal, this world, which is sure to cause his downfall. A most beautiful way of describing, we are all pandits. I'm not talking in the sense of we are learned in scriptures or specialized PhDs, but sufficiently learned. We are all devotees of Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother and Swamiji and the disciples of Sri Ramakrishna, Ramana Maharshi, so many saints and sages we are reading. We know sufficiently to know that this world is a temporary residence. So even after taking vow, taking initiation, and being instructed by our guru what to do, what not to do, and we are quite capable of discriminating what is it, that which is between the real and the unreal. Here I am not talking about eternal reality and unreality. Let us take ordinary things, whether it is food, whether it is activity, whether it is reading of books, whether it is watching some movies, etc., or just passing our time meaningless way. And even I would say some of the social media like Facebook, etc., I'm not saying they are not useful, but there is a good use, there is not such a good use. If a person, claiming that we are devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, if this person doesn't make an attempt to control, to harmonize everything in life, and then he is definitely, he is sure not to progress. Not only that, there is great danger of his becoming a hypocrite. A hypocrite is, as we all know, is one who claims one thing, professes one thing, but does exactly the opposite. From his mouth some words will come out, but his character is walking or running in the opposite direction. That is why Sri Ramakrishna's beautiful sayings are there. There are pandits, and Sri Ramakrishna compares them to vultures. A vulture soars very high in the sky, but instead of keeping its lookout on the vastness, infinity, or above it, its sight is fixed on charnel pits, meaning the unworthy enjoyments of this world. So the same idea Shankaracharya is bringing out here. Where is that man who he knows is a learned person? And here also we have to remember when first time Sri Ramakrishna met M, he asked, what about your wife? What type of person? And he says, she is a good person, but I am afraid she is an ignorant person. And Sri Ramakrishna sharply retorted, and you are a man of knowledge. M had yet to learn the distinction between, from the Vedantic point of view, who is a learned person, who is not a learned person. A person who believes 100% in the existence of God, and he knows spiritual progress is the only goal of life, such a person is supposed to be a learned person. Here that is what is saying, a panditaha, he who knows the, what is the goal of life, and for all obvious purposes, he is trying, he is attempting to follow the a devotee's way of life, and he has sufficient intelligence to discriminate what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is not good. And moreover, Shruti Pramanaha, he has studied many of the spiritual books. Here Shruti means Vedas, but we can also say the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, the teachings of Holy Mother, and the writings, complete works of Swamiji, and the Raja Maharaj, Mahapurush Maharaj, all these are our scriptures. And Paramartha Darshi, and he tells, I am a devotee and I would like to progress in spiritual life. And knowing Kuryat Asatah Avalambam, still that person is running after worldly things, and he knows that I should not do it, and yet doesn't actively try to reform himself. Such a person is sure to fall like a child without looking here and there, up and down, and he is running headlong, and he is sure to fall. So, Svapata Hetoho Shishuvan Mumukshuhu. Shankaracharya is not condemning, but he is trying to say, oh man, you have rightly learnt what is good, what is bad, and you know also how to discriminate, and you also have taken a vow to progress in spiritual life, to practice spiritual disciplines, and yet you will have to strive to progress in spiritual life with full awareness. The emphasis is full awareness. Revered Yatishan Maharaj always used to say that we have to first develop awareness. Awareness, watching ourselves, what are you doing, what I am doing, what I am not doing, what I am doing wrong, and how I should stop doing wrong, and I should do what is right, etc. So this is the meaning of this verse. We have to become, Pandita means the knowers of what is good and what is not good, and constantly we have to go on discriminating, and for that we have to reinforce our sankalpa, our vows, that this is the goal of life, and knowingly, consciously, we have to withdraw ourselves from that path which is not very good. Naturally, the question comes, what is that I am doing wrong, and what is it that I should be doing right? This is called Viveka. We know it, and yet Shankaracharya spells it out for us in no unclear words, very definite verse. That is what he is trying to say in verse 338. Dehadi samsakti mataha na muktihi muktasya dehadi avimatya bhavah suptasya no jagaranam na jagrataha svapnaha tayoho bhinna guna ashrayatva. First he is giving an analogy. I will come to that. So there are persons who know that those who are body oriented, completely, very intensely body conscious. For them, liberation from the body and identity with the Atman is impossible. On the reverse side, those who have identified themselves with the Atman, for them to be identified with the body is as impossible. So he gives a beautiful analogy. A person who is asleep is not awake. He doesn't know what is called waking state. And a person who is not sleeping, who is awake, for him he doesn't know what is called sleep, because these are completely opposed states to each other. So what is Shankaracharya trying to hint to us? He says that be awake, uttishtata, jagrata, be aware. You should not fall into the clutches of dehabhimana, identity with the body. What is bondage? To be identified with the body, to be identified with the mind. So he is telling there is no liberation for one who has attachment to the body. And the liberated man has no identification with the body. The sleeping man is not awake, nor is the waking man asleep. But these two states are completely contradictory in nature. So what Shankaracharya is trying to point out, if you are too much attached to the body, there is no spiritual progress. But if you are bent upon spiritual progress, automatically your identity with the body must become less. So how do we know whether we are attached to the body? Observe yourself. Are you constantly complaining? It is too hot. It is too cold. Somebody is not respecting me. Somebody is insulting me. Somebody is not favoring me. Somebody is always after me, criticizing me, etc. So if you react, if someone praises you, you feel very happy. Someone criticizes you and you become depressed. Sometimes it is also true. Many people, they become depressed. Nowadays, I heard from quite a number of people, Swamiji, we are housebound because of this curfew and we are feeling bored. That means you are not feeling bored from any outside circumstance. You are feeling bored with yourself because you are forced to face yourself and you don't know how to look after yourself. So he says, there is no liberation for one who has attachment to the body. Therefore, liberation will come for those who try to get rid of this attachment. And it doesn't come all of a sudden. It will take many, many lives. That is why one of the qualities, that perseverance. Sri Ramakrishna gives us very beautiful example of two yogis. All the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna must be knowing this parable of Sri Ramakrishna very well. The two yogis were sitting under two separate seats, and one day they saw Narada going to Vaikuntha. They requested him to ask God when he is going to bestow his grace upon them. Narada agrees and comes back. He meets the first yogi and informs him, you have to be reborn in one more birth, one more time. And that person started weeping and wailing, oh, I have wasted this life itself. I never had any worldly enjoyment. And still I have to be born one more time. For this person, he is not a real sincere spiritual aspirant. Somehow he wants to get rid of all the unhappiness and then run away. For such persons, mukti is very far away. Whereas when Narada goes and says to the other man that you have to be reborn billions of times, as many times as the leaves are there on this tamarind tree, and he jumps up with joy and starts dancing. Why? Because for him, every second thinking of God is the greatest joy in the world. So he doesn't, if God says to him that I will never appear before you, you have to go on practicing spiritual disciplines for eternity, he will not be depressed in the least. All the more he says, off with you, God. I'm very happy with thinking of you. I don't need you. It's a beautiful song in Kannada. Neen yako, neen hang yako. I do not want you. I don't want your powers. I don't want your presence. In nama undu iddare sako. I'm quite happy if I have your name and my guru has given me your name to me. This is the greatest treasure I have. And incidentally, today is Ramanavami, the birthday of the greatest, one of the greatest incarnations of God, Sri Rama. So this is the attitude of a true spiritual sadhaka, that I have got the jewel, the treasure, the diamond of God's name, and dive deep, and he will not come out until he attains God himself, because the name of God and God are not two separate things. There is a wonderful philosophy of sound here. Nama, namni. The name and the named are exactly one and the same. They are not at all different. How they are one and not at all different is a subject for another day's discussion. But it is enough to have faith. To have God is to have his name or his idea. To have the name of God is to have the God himself. So this person says, I'm very happy. So I have got my own God in the form of your name. And I want to dive deep and I will not come out until I form the diamond. And which is, there's a beautiful song, doop, doop, doop. Roop Shagore Amar Mon. Talatal Patal Khunjile Pavire Prem Ratnadhan. In South India, there are devotees of Lord Vishnu. They are called Alvars. The meaning of the word Alvar is he who has dived deep into the ocean of the love of God, the glory of God. And 12 such Alvars are world famous, and of them, one of them is a woman, and she is also called Alvar. She is Andal Alvar. Andal. Anyway, the point is that we have to slowly reduce our attachment to the body through the control of our food, our sleep, our contact with other people, and keeping an eye upon our activities, and taking more and more recourse, developing more and more attachment to God. And the more attachment we have to God, the more joy we get. And the more joy and happiness we get in repeating God's name, in studying their lives, lives of great saints, and in studying the scriptures, etc., to that extent, our body consciousness also becomes less. And this will happen automatically, but at the beginning, we have to be very cautious. Then, what is the goal of life, tattva? That's what he is trying to tell in the next verse, 339. The goal of life is to see Brahman everywhere. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Whatever I see is nothing but Brahman. The Ram Krishna, after his all the sadhanas were over, was only perceiving Divine Mother everywhere. So he used to say, I see as if the whole universe is made up of wax, men, birds, animals, mountains, as if every object that I perceive is not made up of nothing but wax. Here this is an analogy. That means everything is only Brahman. this beautiful vision of seeing God everywhere is every second of Sri Ramakrishna's life, Holy Mother's life, and Swami Vivekananda's life. We can see it. But I will give you just one or two examples. We all know that Swamiji had attended the Parliament of Religions, and there his very opening words, five words, sisters and brothers of America. Spontaneously, there was unceasing applause, and until the authorities asked them to cease applauding, they could not stop themselves. Now, what brought about this spontaneous? It was not advertised, it was not announced, but people have done. Why? Because Swami Vivekananda addressed them, sisters and brothers, meaning you are just like me. Between me and you, absolutely there is no difference at all. And that to some extent must have 5,000 people there, because a rishi who had come down from the Saptarshi Loka, that was Swami Vivekananda, he was a Brahmagnani, Dhyana Siddha. He was addressing everybody as, oh my souls, there is no difference between you and me. You are all like me, children of immortal bliss. And he did not mean it like a polite opening, as most of us do, but as a man of realization. Now you see, Holy Mother is called Holy Mother. Why is called Holy Mother? There are billions of mothers on this earth. For every mother, she is a true mother to her children, but only to her children. And there also sometimes she might make discrimination between herself, between her children, favoring some and not favoring some. But here is a mother, and who looks upon everybody as her own children, including Sri Ramakrishna. When somebody asked Holy Mother, how do you look upon Sri Ramakrishna? And she said spontaneously, I look upon him as my own son. But he is your husband, he is God. Yes, he is a God in that sense also, but in the other sense also, he is my son. That is what Lalita Sahasranama says, Sri Mata, Sri Maharagni, Srimat Simhasaneshwari. She is the mother who had given birth to Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. She is the mother from whom Vishnu, Brahma had come, Vishnu had come, and Shiva had come. If we have to believe the Puranas, then she is the Adi Shakti, whom Sri Ramakrishna used to call Shakti. And Holy Mother was fully aware of that. Even though she says, this is my son, not from our human perspective, but you are of the same nature as me, because the cause and the effect cannot be different. Whatever is the effect, that is the cause. Whatever is the cause, that is the effect. So, the goal of life is slowly to expand our vision that the whole universe is nothing but manifestation of Brahman with name and form. But before we can do that, we will have to first of all look upon our own selves, not as body and mind, but as the divine being. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter, Arjuna begs Krishna, O Guru, whatever you said, I believe 100%, but I am not able to experience it. Will you please bestow your grace and make me see it? And immediately the Lord says, you cannot see my true nature with this ordinary eyes, means Dehabhimana Chakshu, the eyes of the person who is identified with his body. He can only see physical body everywhere, and that too he cannot identify with anybody else. But I will give you divine vision, means divine knowledge. And immediately Arjuna saw, and he was frightened. Why was he frightened? Because he saw God not only as the creator of this universe, not only as the sustainer, protector of the universe, but he is also Shiva, unto whom every creature is entering into him from one side and coming out from the other side, like what the scientists tell nowadays of black holes. So the goal of life is to behold Brahman everywhere, not to make any difference between oneself and the other one. That is, that idea is being so beautifully brought out in this 339th verse. Antah bahihi svam sthira jangameshu jnanatmana adharataya vilokya tyakta akhila upadhihi akhanda rupah purnatmana yah sthitah esha muktah. He is free who, knowing through his mind the self in moving and unmoving objects and observing their substratum, gives up all superimpositions and remains as the absolute and the infinite self. We have to understand 4 points here. The first point is that he is the self, and as such he sees the self, his own self, not as separate but as his own self in everything, and everything is divided into two and not the non-living. There is no distinction. This is God and this is non-God. Everything moving and non-moving, living and non-living, everything is nothing else but God. That is the first point. And what is the first point? First of all, he says that God is the substratum. God is the astitvam. Sat. Without the existence of God, nothing else can exist. Existence, pure existence, infinite existence alone is appearing in the form of different shapes, different forms. That is the manifestation of pure existence, which we call the world, panchabhutatmaka jagat. So without God, nothing else exists. And then, is that God separate from me? No. Svatmana, Svam, I am that Atman, I am that God. Jnana Atmana, with this knowledge, he perceives the whole world everywhere. This beautiful idea has been again beautifully brought out in the Isayavasya Upanishad. Isayavasya Midagum Sarvam, Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat. That is what Holy Mother had explained, had made us understand in the form of 4 sutras, 4 commandments. Oh my child, you are God and the whole world is God. You are not able to find God either in yourself or in others. Why am I not able to see God? You are not able to see God because your whole life is dedicated to finding fault with others, finding the defects of other people. So there is a law that if I can find somebody else's fault, it proves that I myself have that fault. If I don't have knowledge of that fault, I would never be able to see the fault of others in anybody else. So stop finding fault. That is a great time saver, and that is a greatest way to obtain peace of mind. But then what do I do? Become better. That means I am not better. That means I have got lot of faults, defects, problems, weaknesses, temptations, wrong desires, etc. I am not aware of it. So many, as the modern psychologists tell us, of our wrong ambitions, evil desires, etc., are suppressed and lie in the depths of the unconscious unless we awake and focus the searchlight of Viveka deep into the recesses of the unconscious. We won't be able to find out and will be surprised how many such faults we have. So find your own faults. Then try to eliminate. Find out means not simply, yes, I know I have the faults. No. The moment you find, make an attempt to slowly get rid of those defects. And how do we do that? Pratipaksha bhavanaya. Patanjali gives us the thing. If I have a defect, then think of the opposite. If I am a miser, think of God as the embodiment of generosity. If I am lazy, think of God as full of enthusiastic activity. If I am attached to anything in this world, think of Holy Mother, think of Sri Ramakrishna, think of Buddha, think of Jesus Christ. How detached they were. So Holy Mother is telling that through thinking of the opposite, you will slowly get rid of your faults. That means meditate upon God or Guru as the embodiment of those qualities which we need to develop. This is called Gunadhyana, meditation on the positive, auspicious spiritual qualities so that the opposite will get slowly destroyed. As our meditation on good qualities develops, our defects will slowly melt away and these will go inside and bring about a change from the very root. Then comes Holy Mother's beautiful advice. There is no stranger. You are thinking, I am different, my parents are different, my neighbors are different, my religion is different, my country is different, the whole world is different. No, there is no stranger. Because what exists is nothing but only God. And make everyone your own. Make the whole world your own. You are God, the world is God. Then through right knowledge, you practice spiritual discipline and obtain that universal vision. I am Brahman, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. This is what Shankaracharya is telling. Only a person who is capable of beholding that Brahman, that divine reality alone, not as this finite, full of suffering, this world, but it is nothing but the Leela, the divine sport of the Divine Mother in everything. And this has very relevance to our present situation too. For most people, they have that misnomer. I am calling it misnomer, that this coronavirus is the greatest disaster that has struck humanity. This is, of course, our viewpoint. I wonder if Sri Ramakrishna were to be alive. And it is not to say that he is not alive. You go to Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, or Swamiji, for example, go to Holy Mother, sit there quietly and ask. And believe that Holy Mother is sitting in front of you and she is listening to you and she is ever ready to give the answer. Oh Mother, why did this disaster has come? What do you think she will reply? You will be surprised. The first thing she will tell, my child, misery is the greatest gift of God. What? Does God make us more miserable? When he is more gracious to me, then he makes me more miserable? No, 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 no. You are misunderstanding me, my child. This misery has come to separate you from your ignorance, to destroy your ignorance, to make way for the right knowledge that is about to come. And this is the only, until you become miserable. Means when you are taken away your playing toy, then you become very miserable. And so Swami Vivekananda used to say, we are all mustached babies. So like babies, we are all playing. Only grown-up dolls. Money, men, women, houses, cars, electronic equipment, social media, these are all grown-up toys, rather I would say. And if they are taken away, and you feel so miserable. But if this misery can cut away your attachments, if they can turn your attention towards God, and if that can give you more and more joy, incomparable to what you are trying to squeeze here but unable to get. And we, what do you know, what do you think we will make? Blessed misery, blessed misery. By the way, it's a beautiful poem of Swami Vivekananda. That is, I think it is called Blessed Misery. A person who is bent, who is unable to walk and goes on cursing life and world, and then suddenly the awakening comes and then he looks back and says, I have been able to attain this blessed, glorious vision only because of that misery. So I can categorically tell you that every so-called what we label as misery, when it comes, and it is a divine awakener. And then it tells Uttishtata, Jagrata, Prapyavaran, Nibodhata. So arise, awake. This misery cannot go, but it will disappear unless you give up this attachment, this tamasikata, this ignorance. So this is the first answer Holy Mother will give. Misery is because God is very gracious to all of us. In this light only we have to take. In any case, if you decide not to take it in this case, you will be much more miserable and you will not find any change in your life. The second thing that she says, oh my child, what is it that is separating you and me? It is this maya, avidya, moha. And it has become so one with you, I have to really do a surgical operation and it is very painful. But within a few days you will be cured and then you will understand how much you will enjoy my presence. I am because I am of the nature of Anandamayima, Sachidananda. So this is how everything has got a positive effect. And now many people are realizing that they are forced to examine and turn their attention inside and examine their life and change their lifestyle. And if there are unfortunate people who go back to their life after this is over, they are truly misfortune really had overtaken them. They are the most unfortunate people whom the Upanishads label as asuras, and their lot is to suffer very much. So you perceive the self in yourself, in outside world, in the moving and unmoving objects, and observing the divine as the substratum of everything, give up all superimpositions and remain as the divine and infinite self. This is what Sri Ramakrishna also would advise to for us also. So then we are all miserable. Many of us do not realize that we are miserable. And some of us go deep, as Sri Ramakrishna tells, when a fish is caught, it sinks deeper into the mud instead of trying to realize its situation and find a means of jumping out of the net. So there is only one way. If we want to be eternally, infinitely happy, we have to get rid of this bondage that is called the bondage of samsara. Samsara, bandhana, maya, or avidya. In 40th verse, this is what Shankaracharya, Sarvatmana Bandha Vimukti Hetu Sarvatma Bhavat Naparo Asti Kaschit Drishya Agrahe Sati Upapadyate Asau Sarvatma Bhavo Asya Sada Atmanishthaya. To realize the whole universe as the self is the only means of getting rid of bondage. There is nothing higher than identifying ourselves and the universe with the self. One realizes this state by excluding the objective world through steadfastness in the eternal Atma. First of all, we must have tremendous faith that there is an abiding reality which is infinite and eternal. And then we must also be awake and say the goal of life is moksha, not merely dharma, artha and kama. And then not only I am the self, the whole universe is the self. Because if any person says I am Brahman but doesn't realize that the whole world is also nothing but Brahman, his realization is not at all complete. So, Sarvatmana Bandha Vimukti Hetuhu. So, this is the only way to get out of the bondage of the world. And the only way is Sarvatma Bhava, to see one's own self as everything and everything as one's own self. And there is no higher goal than this. And in order to progress slowly towards that goal, what is the condition? Drishya agrahe, whatever we are experiencing through our five sense organs, we have to say this is limited, this is not Brahman, the whole universe is really Brahman. But to see that Brahman as broken and as finite, as bound, that is called bondage. So slowly we have to get rid of, in other words, our attachment to this body and mind. And if we can do it, then Atmanishthaya, it may take long time, many, many lives. Then one day will come, slowly every life we progress, then a day will come. What do we gain? Sarvatma Bhavaha, to be able to see everywhere the same Brahman. Bhagavad Gita tells us the beautiful verse, Bahunam Janmanam Ante, at the end of many, many, many lives of spiritual striving, Jnanavan, a person becomes man of knowledge. He is able to see everything as God. Mam Prapadyate, such a person attains me, Brahman. And then what happens? Such a person, Vasudevaha Sarvam Iti, whatever I see, whatever I hear, whatever I experience, whatever I think, it is not any object, but it is none other than the Divine Lord, Brahman, Vasudeva, Sarvam, and he is everything. He is playing in the form of everything. Such a person in this world, Mahatma, Sudurlabha, extremely difficult for us to come across. And we are very fortunate. We have come across, even though not directly, come across such great, not one soul. Thakur, Ma, Swamiji, direct disciples, their disciples, and the disciples of his disciples. And there are so many great people we have been able to see. Even you recollect your own guru, and you will see that at least some glory of Sri Ramakrishna is manifesting through that person. When we have come into contact with such a person, should it not be our duty to restart our spiritual sadhana with much greater enthusiasm and strive to move forward, especially in the days when we are confined to home and we have more time? And we must, with the whole family together, strive to progress in spiritual life. Then Shankaracharya is telling, there is a stepped way, there is a scientific way of slowly attaining to this goal. And only when we follow this with complete confidence in our Guru and in the teachings of the scriptures with Shraddha, Bhakti, etc., do we really succeed in progressing. That is why before practicing any particular yoga, we are supposed to acquire certain qualities. Popularly, they are known as sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, the requisite qualifications necessary in order to be able to progress in our chosen path of spiritual progress. First of all, he says, viveka. First thing is to find out what is the goal, what is the right goal, and what am I doing now, and what should I give up, what should I pursue. Next is vairagya. Whatever I know to be a wrong habit, whatever I know to be detrimental, whatever I know will land me into more trouble, whatever attachments I have. Attachment itself is not bad. Attachment to God, attachment to spiritual life, to sacred scriptures and great saints and sages, that is very good attachment. But attachment to ephemeral things is what pulls us down. So that is called give up with firm determination whatever we understand to be an obstacle in our spiritual life. That process is called dispassion. Vairagya means develop detachment. When a person develops detachment, automatically he will become great. But this detachment also means attachment. Unless we put our foot on the higher step, it is not possible for us to give up the lower step. This is a well-known process. What it means is our attachment, first of all, has to be turned towards the higher direction, as I just now mentioned. And then only make an effort to detach ourselves from the things to which we are deeply attached from many, many lives. And then whatever the Guru had instructed us to do, if we practice it with complete faith, and that is what is called Shanti, Shanta. That is Shama, Dama, Titiksha, Uparati, Shraddha, Samadhana. These are called that sixfold spiritual qualities. This is the third step. And then as we progress in these three steps, our desire for God realization or to manifest our own divinity becomes much more deeper, intenser, and in that order. So this is the essence of what Shankaracharya is trying to tell us. Sarvatma siddhaye bhikshu krita shravana karmanah samadhim vidadhatyesha shanto danta iti shrutihi. The sannyasin. Here sannyasin means sincere spiritual aspirant who has gone through the act of hearing, shravana, manana, nididhyasana, and trying to acquire qualities like shanti, danti, etc. Prescribes samadhi, means more and more absorption in God for realizing the identity of the universe with the self. In simple words, we have to hear the truth, we have to deeply meditate upon the truth, we have to develop requisite spiritual qualities, and with complete faith, if we go on praying, surrendering ourselves at the feet of the Sri Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swamiji, we are sure to progress. And this is the only way, ultimately, by the grace of God, we attain samadhi. Here, samadhi means God realization or the self-knowledge. And once we get that knowledge, we are free from the bondages of all the world and we become blessed. So, the essence of what we discussed is, we are spiritual aspirants. We are the children of God. The whole world is nothing but a manifestation of God. Spiritual progress is our goal in life, and spiritual progress means to realize that not only I am a child of the Divine Mother, the whole world is nothing but manifestation of the Divine Mother, and for that we need a Guru, and having been duly instructed by him with complete faith in his words and in the scriptures, if we go on practicing, by their grace one day, we will attain that self-knowledge and we become blessed. Until that time, we have to be very careful and practice spiritual disciplines. And part of that spiritual disciplines is everything that happens in our life, we have to take it as if this is God's ordination. In fact, God's grace, if it is a happy thing, that is also God's grace. If it is a disaster, that is also God's grace. Therefore, it is not a disaster. It is a great blessing. With this kind of faith, if we go on practicing, then we are sure to progress in spiritual life. And this kind of online classes or YouTube classes, this is the greatest modern blessing to us. Wherever we are, we do not need to miss anything. In fact, we can get even more than what was physically available in the past.